Hello and welcome to the Reiki Women Podcast. My name is Carrie Varela with the Reiki Healing Society, and it's always so wonderful to share these beautiful conversations with my colleagues and friends. So we got Michaela Daystar here of Heartscapes Reiki and Bronwyn Logan with Reiki with Bronwyn. And today we wanted to do something a little bit different on our podcast, something we've really never done before, which is to guide you into a practice with Reiki. And specifically, we're going to guide you into the Three Diamonds practice, because little did you know, maybe you already know this already, but you got Three Diamonds already here as your host for the Reiki Women Podcast. So we're going to combine our star power, our diamond power, and give you a wonderful meditation on the three diamonds. So, hey, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions about the three diamonds out there, and a lot of people are completely unaware of them, and including myself. It was actually Michaela that first taught me about the three diamonds, and I was completely clueless about this for about, you know, 12 years into my Reiki journey. So I thought we'd also just start off with a little conversation about what are the three diamonds, where does that come from, what's it all about, and then we're going to drop into a practice. So who would like to talk about your point of view in terms of the three diamonds, the history, the backdrop, and maybe something significant that, you know, this knowledge has imparted to you?
I'm going to go first there because myself, along with Franz, actually incorporated, if you like, the three diamonds into the system of Reiki, because it wasn't taught within the system of Reiki in any of the Western lineage, and not even exclusively in the Japanese lineage. What we knew was that in the research that we were doing in early 2000 is that Hawaii Takada, for example, spoke of the hara. Yeah. And she spoke in her diaries as, you know, her writing about her hara, and so that earth energy space, if you like. And so that sort of started off this idea, like she's talking about that, but no other teachers are talking about this part of the body. So, you know, a lot of people are talking about chakras because of, you know, the 1980s and 90s, where the system of Reiki had moved into an integration with the New Age movement. And so what we did was in researching, we wanted to find out what if you wanted to find a comparison to the Indian chakra system, to actually what was practiced and is practiced in Japan, as what we were thinking at the time was like an energetic system. So we were like, what's a comparative to the energetic system? And out of that came this understanding that within Japanese practices, when we started looking at the different Japanese practices, like martial arts practices, for example, that they worked with this Japanese cosmology. And it was more than an energetic system, which I absolutely loved. So, you know, initially I was like, oh, you know, I'm just looking for an energetic system, something that is traditional rather than having to always rely upon the New Age movement to put my practice onto. Yep. Yeah? And so then we found this, you know, Japanese cosmology, and the cosmology of, you know, that there was the earth and the heavens as the original elements, and that they would come together in the center and they would then create humanity or life. Yeah. And that then was mirrored in the body. So we had the earth as the hara, and we had the heavens as the head, and the both of them coming together and blending at the heart as humanity. And, you know, to me, that was just, it was like magic. And then we were like, so what are we going to call these things? Because we didn't really know, you know, this was just us mid-research, I guess. You know, I've learned a lot since then, I must say. But at that point, what I was thinking was, I'm writing a book, which was The Japanese Art of Reiki, and I really want this Japanese energetic system there. So I came up with this idea of calling it the three diamonds. And the idea of a diamond, often used in spiritual practice, because a diamond you can polish, and the more you polish it, the more you work with it, the brighter it becomes. And that works beautifully with the system of Reiki, because we talk about being the great bright light. So that all worked beautifully, and that's where that name came from. But as things have moved along and I've understood a little more about Japanese practices and understanding elements of Japanese arts, then, you know, basically what we were looking at was Sanmitsu. And we hadn't at the time realized that that was exactly the same thing as what we were talking about. So now within the system of Reiki, it's called the Three Diamonds, which I do love because it's something we can relate to. But in reality, it is the Japanese practice of Sanmitsu, and which is the blending of these three elements to make a whole. And that's who we are. So, you know, if you look, oh, I wish I had it here with me. I do have it close, but I haven't. Maybe while Michaela's talking, and then I'll go grab it, just because I really love that in the word, in the kanji, the Japanese kanji of Rei, we can actually see Sanmitsu, the three diamonds, and we can see how they are just such an integral part of who we are. And I'm going to go find them, and I'm going to hand it over to you, Michaela.
Yeah, I've always, you know, it's always one of my favorite pieces of teaching and studying Reiki, to look at the blending of the concept of Sanmitsu, the three mysteries of our body, our mind, and our breath, this tangible part of ourself that is of the earth, this ethereal part of ourself that is of the universe, of space, of heaven, however we want to conceive of that, and this kind of bridge in between of the voice, the energy, or the breath. It's a map that is simple, it's elegant, it is accessible, and it can take us into very deep places. It's one of the things about the system of Reiki that's so like exquisitely simple, and because of that, it is applicable on many, many, many levels. And then the way in which the practices of the three diamonds help us to kind of overlay that onto our physical body, which, you know, again, as the first of the three mysteries, is the most accessible to us. It's the one that's tangible. It's the one that is, you know, visible. It's easy for us to work with. It's, you know, the first one we're probably aware of. And so by working with the three diamonds, which are, you know, conceived of as energy centers that are located in the body, that we can, you know, we can work with them in a tangible way and then bridge that to the intangible spaces. So it's a really lovely way to be with the concept of Sanmitsu in a way that's very accessible. And of course that opens us up to a wide range of practices. And so, yeah, I'm excited to share a little bit of, the practices that each of us use. We're each going to take one of the three diamonds and walk you through a practice that was just on our heart today, three different types of practices, as an example of how you might focus your attention on these three diamonds.
Okay. Hey, before we go on, I'll just show you what I was talking about. So there we go. So we have Rei there, and this is the kanji for Rei, so the Japanese kanji. And so we have the earth, and we have the heavens, and then we have them coming together with the whole, there's a whole story in there, but in the center we have humanity. So it is the blending of these, and interestingly, humanity is expressed through three cups or mouths, which once again brings us back to this idea of the three elements that we are made up of. So it's just sort of like it's a part of us, and I think that's really, really beautiful.
I love that. Yeah. And I think that what's so useful about it is you know, many world traditions, right, talk about mind, body, spirit, right, and these like these different ways of looking at that. But I love how embodied the three diamonds are. Yeah. And so that like we can really assign an area of the body to explore this whole notion of body centering, for example, in the Hara. And, you know, as a yoga teacher, I think that that's incredibly helpful because a lot, you know, you say, oh, connect to your body. But what does that really mean? You know, like how do you get people to help them, support them to connect more to their body? And so I know I've used the Hara and ideas from the Hara to really help, you know, myself and my students to understand, you know, their body more and to give them a focal point to connect to their body. And I've also seen a lot of, I guess I'm sharing it in the context of yoga, is that, you know, the chakras come from yoga. Some people don't know that, but they come from yoga. And so that's their real cultural source, right? But it's kind of complicated to do all of the chakras. And like in a yoga class, it's like almost impossible, you know, like, and it creates energetic chaos if we're not really being specific about what it is that we're talking about, activating and doing one at a time. You know, sometimes students lose interest in all of that. So my yoga teacher a long time ago, he, you know, tried to simplify the chakras, and he was like, let's do it in three, you know, just three. And so he kind of like brought some of the chakras together, but he was really teaching this notion of the three diamonds, which is mind, body, spirit. So I don't think it's the same as the chakras by any means, or that the chakras aren't effective or helpful within the context of energy healing. But it's so good to know where this stuff comes from, you know?
No, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I often think of it as like I mean, we know that a lot of the practices have come from India, and sorry, I didn't say yoga before, but you know, that they have come from there. And, you know, the Japanese are so good at simplifying things, aren't they? And making them different to where they came from, but something that seems to work beautifully on a very simple, profound level. So yeah, I totally appreciate the chakra system. And I do think that, you know, there is, I would say that, you know, in many ways, it's the foundation of the three diamonds at some point, right? And but yes, it is now a totally integrated system within the Japanese understanding of how we exist.
And I always think about it as, you know, essentially the same phenomenon of there being a centralized energy center in our body that is in connection and relationship to the world around us. That is kind of mapped and understood differently by different peoples. And, you know, I'm this is just my perception, so I'm not saying like this is accurate, but you know, that's kind of how I've always related to it, is that there is the reality that is, you know, to some degree scientifically measurable, and in other degrees is more kind of in the spiritual realm, but one of those places where there's a lovely blending of those realms, that you know, we have an energy circulation system in our body, and that it is associated with our central channel, and that it has these concentrated areas. And then, you know, people will have experiences with that phenomenon. Like they'll have experiences with Reiki, with energy. They'll name it and describe it and understand it and teach it in ways that are in accordance with their understanding of the world and their culture. But they're, you know, fundamentally observing the same phenomenon. So, you know, not to say that that's exactly what's going on here, but that's how I've always kind of understood it, and seeing parallels between that and other sorts of phenomenon that are observed by multiple peoples and then given their own, you know, given their own description.
And also, you know, from what I've noticed within this, the world of energy healing, if you like, is that, you know, the mind is so incredibly powerful that when we place, this is why we practice, but you know, when we place things in people's minds, also they believe it. We believe things very easily, and we take these things on. So we really need to actually practice stuff to experience it and know it for ourselves. And then only can we really know what it may mean. And I think that's, you know, that's what we're going to do today. Right? Shall we begin?
One other thing I would love to say about that then is that the yogis, when they created the chakras, they thought of the chakras as this place that holds spiritual energy and just common places where we hold spiritual energy. And so that even though we might experience the heart chakra in a very specific area, that like somebody's own experience of it could be like their energy is over here. Their heart, they might feel more connected to the back of the heart than the front of the heart, something like that. And so, it really does relate directly to our personal experience of our energy. And in yoga, they say our mind can move prana. So we can with our mind. And so I like to think of the chakras as this map, and that's what the yogis thought of it, is a map to understanding ourselves, to understanding different aspects of ourself. And so a simplified version of the chakras, if you will, if that's the three diamonds, I'm not sure if we're even talking about the same thing, because as I just got back from Japan, every like at every temple, at every sacred place, there is some reference to three focal points. And especially Amankurama. Amankurama has, it's just all over it, is these notions of Sanmitsu, and that Sanmitsu, when activated, ultimately leads us into a state of oneness and connection to our true self. And so I like to think of the true self as like kind of on top, and then like the three diamonds as this like a way of getting more awareness of the self and different aspects of the self. And then on an even deeper level is the seven chakras, where we get to really explore, all the different nuances of who we are, and put into an order of ourself. We order ourselves through this awareness of our energy. And even if it's not physically true, like scientifically true, it's metaphorically true for us. And energy works with us on that level. And so if we, if you have a relationship with your body in a different area, like your elbow or whatever, ultimately you can create a whole, awareness of the body or connection to the body through that elbow. But here we're saying it's in the hara. And
Yeah, no, I agree. And just on that point, I, often say, because we talk about like being the head and the heart and the lower torso, but there's no line delineating anything. And in reality, these things that are just symbolic, they don't exist on their own. They cannot exist on their own, which is why when we see this, it is a total integration. And there, it's not like one element is separate to everything else, even though today we are going to work individually, but they have to have the other elements with them. So they are already, if you like, blended. We are already a blend of these elements, and working with them in this specific way of attaching a physical area to them helps us in to practice. It helps us to it gives us it actually gives us grounding, because it gives us the body to work with. And that is a really helpful symbol, if you like, using ourselves as a symbol to bring us into the practice and to help us move deeply into the three diamonds and ourselves.
Lovely. And I believe, Bronwyn, you're going to get us started with the first diamond, and then we'll just transition, as seamlessly as we can, Carrie, into your practice with the second diamond in the head, and then into mine in the heart. And for those of you watching at home, listening at home, we invite you to practice along with us. You can take them individually. You can walk it through as a whole, complete practice, whatever works for you. And we look forward to hearing how it goes for you.
Good. I guess we'll spend about 10 minutes on each practice. Sounds about right for you guys. If we work with these practices. They're also called, I know Michaela called them the three mysteries. They're also called the three treasures, and because they're also used a lot in China. So there's a China has a very complex way of looking at our energy bodies, and which is really fascinating as well. So if anyone's looking for more information, you know, you can find it in the Japanese information, also Chinese information about this part of the body. And I'll be working with the hara, and in some areas they call it the lower tanden or the lower tantien, and that is an area below the belly button and deep within the body. And it's an area that we associate with grounding, with the physical body. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, it is a mirror of we are a mirror then of the universe. So if we think of it in that way, that the universe began with the earth and the heavens, so it's as if the earthliness of our planet is our, this is our connection through into that. And it reminds us that we are a part of the universe. We are not separate. And in reality, that is probably very true, because we have this, the stars, and you know, wasn't it Carl Sagan who said we're stardust? And you know, so when the stars break down and all the elements from the stars come together and form something, they create a new planet, like our beautiful planet. And then we evolve out of that planet, and then we die, and our elements go back into the earth, and the cycle continues. So we are a part of this earth, and this, by doing practices like what we're about to do, it helps us to remember that. So if you'd like to, what we're going to do is a couple of things. If you'd like to close your eyes to begin with and just relax the body, but remembering to keep that upright element within the body, and then just relaxing it and breathing deeply down into the hara. So to breathe into the hara, just place your hand on that area just below your belly button. And that's where we're working with today. And just breathe down into that. And when you breathe into it, you can actually feel the breath and the power of that area pushing your hand out. And then as you breathe out, you just release it. So taking a couple of breaths, bringing our consciousness, bringing our minds down into our hara, helping us to feel grounded in this planet, a reminder of our interconnectedness with the workings of this planet and how its natural flow is our natural flow. So sitting back into that energy. There is a very simple practice that we do within the system of Reiki, our foundation meditation, Joshin Kokyoho. And Joshin Kokyoho is about breathing down into the hara and then just releasing that breath out into the universe. And in that practice, it reminds us once again of where we sit in the world as part of the world. So just for a moment, breathing down into the hara. And as you release, just release that breath out around you. So breathing down into the hara and releasing that breath out, so that it moves you and your energy out into space, as far as you can in this moment. And there are different ways of connecting through to this grounding element. We can do that energetically in this way. Physically, we can feel ourselves moving down into the earth. So allowing our body, our physical body, we imagine it moving down. We imagine, and just follow this through with me, feeling our feet moving down into the earth, growing roots down into the earth. So taking the physical body down. It's our body connecting down, feeling a part of the earth, feeling its coolness, its strength. Its solidity. So we have the physical body, and then we have the mind working down into the hara as we're breathing down into the hara. And now we're going to work with the breath. There are certain sounds that relate back to the beginning of the universe, back to this point where the earth came together with the heavens. And we're going to sound together the sounds of the beginning of the earth. And it is the sound of ah, an original sound from which other beautiful sounds have been created. So moving back into the beginning of creation, the back to the beginning of the earth. We have that physical sense of the earth. We have our mind sitting in the earth at the hara. And now we have our breath. So breathing down into the hara. And on the out breath, join me in the sound of ah. And as you stop with the sound of ah, just sit in the vibration of the beginning of the earth, the beginning of humanity, the beginning of you. And know the blending of the three diamonds at the hara. And just bringing your hands up into gyoso in gratitude. And moving to the next diamond.
Right, so let's begin our little journey up to the second diamond by closing the eyes, if the eyes aren't already closed, and just taking a moment to just feel up from the neck up, feel sensation in the body. So notice if you have any sort of like minor small headache. Notice sensation in the head, the scalp, the forehead, the jaw. Feeling of opening the inner ears to just feel and hear all the sounds that are coming through your eardrums, whether it be the sound of my voice or the sounds in your space, sounds of people driving past, just ambient sound in your environment. And feel the brain itself, the heaviness of this incredibly important organ in the body. You might visualize it strung up like a hammock hooked to both of your ears, and the brain itself softening and relaxing into the skull, softening down. Noticing so much about how our throat and our voice and what we speak, the words we speak, are a reflection of our thoughts. And our thoughts are a reflection of our consciousness, what we're aware of. Thoughts a reflection of both our awareness and our consciousness. So I invite you to tune in to what you're aware of in this moment. Noticing as you enter a meditative space, what are those things, those first things that come to your mind? Something that you want to think about or you're sitting with. Noticing overall your quality of mind today. Is the mind agitated or frustrated, distracted? And then noticing for yourself that state of an anxious mind, an anxious or a craving mind. Mind that is attached to a specific outcome. And we all have that. So just noticing for yourself when you're in that state of mind, how does it feel inside of your body? Does your head feel? Sensations in the body shift? What does it feel like to just soften and let go? And so I mentioned those aspects of our mind, both of our thoughts, our awareness, and our consciousness, as a way of trying to understand what we're aware of. Being more aware of that awareness without reactivity. Or judgment. Feeling this connection to all living things. We all have this consciousness, this awareness to see problems in our life. Also, to find solutions. Also, to know that we are awake, alive beings. Responding to the world around us. So in Reiki, we talk about the second diamond being this place for heavenly energy. And perhaps here we're relating that to our consciousness of being aware of what is true for us, being more aware of the wisdom inside of us, inside of our mind. Notice how we see the world as a reflection of both our inner and outer world. Feeling the mind just maybe through this little exercise, a little bit more open and spacious. Looking at our life and what we think about, those thought patterns that show up continuously for you. Thinking about looking at them through the lens of compassion. And deeper self-awareness. Noticing if the mind is craving or agitated, seeking to understand where that agitation comes from. What that objective, the craving, thinks it's going to achieve for you. Just noticing if that awareness of the root or source of that agitation brings you any additional clarity. With a mind open and relaxed, be free and liberated from its distractions and agitations. Wondering for ourselves what it feels like, what it looks like when we're seeing things clearly. Seeing things through that polished lens or second diamond. Seeing the wisdom of the universe reflected back to us in our mind and our awareness. So, instead of chanting, I thought I'd do just a little exercise that I'm often been doing lately. So, you're just bringing the hands up right to that throat area. Elbows are bent, almost right by in line with the shoulders. And as you inhale, you're going to reach your arms up. Just kind of scooping up all that energy and thought around your head. And then exhale, circle the arms down, just shoulder height. And then bend the elbows, bring the hands in. Just do a few of those. Just this kind of cleansing, nourishing release. We talked about it, and Kayla talked about it a little bit last week, like the mind being like the leaves of a tree, feeling that omnidirectional glow, your beautiful mind, spacious and open like tree leaves swaying in the wind. And one more round like that. And bringing the hands down to the heart and the touch of the palms. Gesture of gratitude. Gratitude for our beautiful mind. And then passing the baton over to Michaela to lead us down into our third diamond.
From that perspective of compassion for self, for the world that Carrie just so beautifully helped invoke for us. We're going to move into the territory of compassionate connection, the territory of courage, territory of our heart. And our heart lying between our earthy belly and our wide open, spacious mind draws in the energies of both to create a landscape that is both firm, safe, well supported, and also wide open, spacious, and full of possibility. So, to help remain grounded as we take this journey, I invite you to place one hand at your hara. And one hand at your heart. So important to work in this order so that we retain that firm foundation and we open up that wide spaciousness so that when we come to the heart, the third diamond, we have all we need to walk in this territory of compassionate connection. And so, for our next few rounds of breath, we're going to begin drawing on the breath and on our imagination, that powerful, incredible tool of the imagination, to draw energy from below and from above into our heart center. So we'll begin with dropping our attention again down into our hara, as Bronwyn led us into Joshin Kukyoho earlier, letting our attention follow our mind down into our belly, using the warmth and the pressure of our hand that's at our low belly, just below our belly button, to help guide our attention here. And feeling in our body, sensing in our mind, that feeling of groundedness that comes from bringing our attention here. That stable, earthy energy, nourishing. And on your next round of breath, as you exhale, imagine drawing that earthy energy up the center of your body and into your heart. As you inhale, drop your attention down into your hara. And as you exhale, imagine that energy moving upward into your heart. And if you sense best using your physical body, you can do this with a gesture. Physically moving your hands from your belly up into your heart as you exhale. And bringing them back down to your hara as you inhale. Let's do a few rounds of breath in this way. Drawing earth energy from below into our heart. Now in your next round of breath, as you inhale, draw your attention upward to the space within and around your head, the second diamond. This territory of spaciousness, of wide open possibility, of vision. And as you exhale, imagine drawing that spaciousness, that cool, airy energy from above down into your heart space. Oxygenating and bringing spaciousness into your heartscape, into this territory of compassionate connection. And then for our next few rounds of breath, let's imagine energy flowing in both directions, from below and from above, into our heart. Again, using gestures if this is helpful. Imagining, visioning in our mind is not always the best, most effective way for all of us. And so we can draw on our physical body, on our breath, on gesture and movement, to help us to bring these things together. With each breath, drawing from above and below, nourishing energy into our heart. Let's take three more breaths in this way. And then coming to rest, drawing our attention into our heart. Again, placing a hand here, keeping one on our belly. And following our breath, letting the sensation of our breath draw our attention down, and resting your focus in your heart center, the physical center of your chest, the energetic center suspended between the earth and heavens. Let's take a few breaths, drawing our attention back from all the places we've spent it, down into our heart, to this territory of compassionate connection, this territory of courage. As you draw your attention here, notice how it feels to be here in your heartscape. Sensing or imagining that you're standing within the landscape of your heart and extending your senses to notice how it feels here. Perhaps imagining what you would see, what you would hear, what you would encounter within your heartscape in this moment, on this day. And as you do so, I invite you to do this with curiosity and without judgment. However, the landscape of your heart presents itself today is exactly right. Take a few more breaths here. Then I'm going to invite you to carry three questions with you within and from this meditation. Firstly, what do I notice about the conditions of my heartscape today? However you experience it, whether it's through images in your mind, sensations in your body, concepts, what do I notice about the condition of my heartscape today? It's drawing my attention here. How do I feel when I bring my attention to my heart in this moment? Again, without judgment. How do I feel as I bring my attention here to my heart? There may be many layers of feelings. So perhaps looking a layer deeper than what comes to you at the top of your mind? How does it feel when you bring your attention here to your heart today? And finally, given what you've noticed and how you feel, what do I need? What does my heart need today? And I invite you to allow any answer to arise, even if it seems confusing or impossible, outrageous. What do I need? And then gathering up what you've noticed here, bringing your hands back to Gassō at your heart, and a gesture of gratitude and completion. And as you come back to the room, I invite you to get a journal or a drawing pad and spend a little bit of time with words or images, just capturing what you've noticed as you walked through these three meditations. And notice, given what you feel and what you've experienced, is there any small gesture or action that you feel called to take in service of what you now know about what you need? Some small piece of that need that you can give yourself today, or maybe a big piece, whatever feels accessible and available, some gesture that you can make in the direction of what you have become aware of as you've walked through this beautiful energy map of the three diamonds. This map will change, the landscape will change, the weather will change, from moment to moment, from day to day. So we encourage you to return to these sorts of contemplations often so that you can stay in touch with what is happening inside of this beautiful landscape. So friends, thank you so much for this collaboration.
Absolutely, thank you, Michaela, that was lovely. Bronwyn, lovely.
You're muted, Bronwyn.
There we go. I was just looking for the button. Thank you both as well. That was beautiful.
Well, and thanks to all of our listeners. We really hope that that was useful. If it was this is like little blend about talking about something, but also getting that opportunity to experience it too. So we'd love to hear how that went for you. Anything that you harvested from this connection to your three diamonds. And we wish you a beautiful and blissful week and can't wait to continue our conversation down the road. So blessings. And much love to each of you. Bye.